Also in your bulletin, and that you've got one of your cards again, and that you're invited, and that to invite someone, amen? And that how many people, I'm going to be bold enough to say this, how many people have given the card out to someone? About 4%. Okay, let me pause. Okay. This is a command by God, not the card, but that we need to be witnessing and sharing Christ. If we're not doing that, the Bible talks about just a little different way, but in Corinthians, what does it profit someone to speak prophecy and tongues and other things, but have not love? They're but a resounding gong. I can't stress it enough because Jesus stressed it more than I could ever stretch it or encourage you. We need to be witnessing and reaching to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our family, to our friends. We have to be. And if you are not doing it, I'm going to ask you to reevaluate once again your walk with the Lord. That's how strong I'm coming on this, because of the fact it's a command by God. It's not a command by me. And we've got really lax in our North American churches because we've brought it to be all about ourselves. If you are saved, it's not about you anymore. It's about you going out and reaching someone else. It's about you going out. Why? Because now your name is written down in glory. It's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you need to go out to the highways and byways and compel people to come in. And that, Brian, I'm sure many times has broke your heart, and that as a funeral director, and that you've led many funerals, like you have blessed this community beyond measure. Through your business that you've turned into a ministry, reaching out to anyone and that anyone to help them. But I'm sure it must break your heart at times because sometimes there's funerals that are being held in your place and you're working with families that God is absent from. And they're just different. I'm telling you now, they're different. I've done funerals for the unsaved, I've done them for the saved, and I'm telling you now, it is a totally different scenario. It's places that I never want to be. I don't like it being in that moment, I feel that weight, but I'm excited to be in that moment because I'll bring Christ to everyone that's there. But do you get what I'm saying? And that I really encourage you, every week you're going to get this challenge, so I encourage that maybe next week we might have 10% of people that have handed out to someone, and I really encourage you, pray over it. Ask the Lord, who is it, God, that you want me to witness to? Who is it you want me to move towards, to open up? Kim, while I'm ready to open up here, I'm so sorry, under common video, and that you'll find just a walk across the room one, if you can bring that PowerPoint and just follow along with me. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to, let me see here, why don't you hold it in Philippians chapter 2, and just keep your finger in there for a moment. I'm going to share other scriptures as we go along, but we want to camp in Philippians 2, and then we want to move into John chapter 4 after that and camp there for a few moments. And that, but I really want to talk about this year, our theme that the Lord has really put in our heart is the great invitation. You and I never found God. We never found God as if, like we were so good and we found him. But someone was praying for you. Someone witnessed and shared to you. Right? Someone prayed for you or someone witnessed and shared with you. And that's why you opened and you came to the Lord and you moved into a place. Oh, there's the rare stories where someone says, oh, well, I was in my home all by myself and God saved me. Absolutely. But someone somewhere was praying for you. But you never found God, and that Holy Spirit drew you to God. Holy Spirit's been at work in your life way before you realized he was at work. In fact, he hovers all over the earth. He's moving all over the earth. And that drawing men unto God and that revealing himself in the middle of problems and that. How many remember the fires of Australia? Right? Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Amen. And that in the rain, in one little rain part that came, a third of the fires went out. Like, I mean, God is just so faithful and true. As we pray, God reveals himself. How many know that the death toll of animals was out of this world? And we hear those story after story after story, but have you ever paused to stop to listen to the testimonies, the good reports, the amazing things God has did in the middle of that fire? That everyone is, it's the worst ever. Oh, what good could come from this? Oh, I don't know about you, but my God can bring good from anything. And if you listen to those testimonies, listen to the stories of what God did, and that where people and that out of compassion rose up to help something, or great feats where God showed up and he just did something amazing, undeniably God. You see, when we run from our problems, or all we do is focus on the negative or focus on how hard it is, and that then we'll never ever take a step. Why? Because really it fear starts to settle into our heart. And that's from the enemy. That's not from God. God said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He says perfect love casts out all fear. So what do you need and what do I need? I need a fresh revelation of the love of God to flood my soul so that it pushes out all those impurities, all those thoughts, all those things the enemy tries to throw at me to get me down and distracted. God is for you. He's not against you. But you do have an enemy that is against you. And he's constantly trying to get you off track. But the single greatest gift, and that for us as a believer, is to be able to partner with God. To be counted worthy enough to be allowed to be a part of what he is doing. He didn't just save us and bail us out and say, okay, now you just sit over here while you watch what I'm doing. No, no, no. He says, hey, slaves don't know what the master is up to. But I don't call you a slave. I call you a son and a daughter, and I welcome you in. Come alongside of me, walk with me, so that you might see, and you might partake, and you might find the joy that I receive joy, God's joy, and then he gets joy when he sees. And then, in fact, the Bible says, all heaven rejoices at one getting saved. You see, we've just got to remind ourselves, really, what's important in life. What's really important in life? I heard that joke once, and that of the man, rich man that died. He went to heaven, and Peter was at the gate, and all of a sudden he's rolling up because he decided, you know, hey, I want to take everything with me. So he sold everything he had. He bought gold bricks, put it into his coffin with him. So he's showing up at the gates, and he's rolling up with all these gold blocks and that in his in a wheelbarrow, and he's coming up to the gate to Peter, and Peter's like, oh, hey, great. You brought more pavement. Thank you. You know, and that joke is that part of it. Everything that we consider valuable on this earth, the treasures, the trinkets, it's really worth nothing. It'll bring you joy, and we're thankful for that. And God says to enjoy the things around you, so don't get me wrong. Toys for boys is not wrong. And that, all the men says, yes. And that as long as they don't take a priority. If all of a sudden you're saying no to God, no to God, no to him, no to his will, no to his ways, because you're too busy with some toy, maybe time to bring it down. Or hobby, or whatever you want to place there, maybe it's time to bring that back under the right priority. But as we walk with him, as we listen to him, and that single greatest joy or greatest gift that you and I could have is the ability now to partner with him. to hear him, to see him, to walk with him, to breathe, to move, to witness, to love, to be his light. And so he calls us in that to be this witness for him. And that evangelism can be as simple as just walking across the room. That simple. It's not a difficult thing. And over these next few weeks, I really want to unpack this and I want to talk a little bit about this. Why? Because you and I know it's not easy. Why? Because we have allowed fear to come in of the what if. The fear of the what if. What if I walk over and I begin to share and that Jesus with Krista. Now, Krista knows the Lord, but what if she didn't? And I begin to share, what if she laughed at me? What if she said, I don't believe in that. I don't want you to talk to me about that. What if she asked me something I don't know? Listen to me. There's no one in this room that knows everything. If you think you do, beware. Right? None of us know everything. So if you don't know something, it's okay. Say, hey, I don't really know that, but you know what? Together, why don't we figure that out? Let's go. Let's go to the Word of God. Hey, let's go and that to pastor or to a godly man or woman. Let's go get some help. Don't leave them hanging. But it's okay not to know everything. You don't have to know everything, but you need to know the one that does. You see, you can't give away something you don't have. Oh, I can say, hey, Fran, I really like you a lot. I'm giving you $100,000 today. Are you excited about that? I'm excited about that. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be life-changing. What are you going to do with that $100,000, Fran? What's the first thing? Buy a house. Oh, my goodness, this will be exciting. Oh, by the way, I don't have $100,000, so sorry. I can't give away something I don't have. The seven sons of Sceva, Book of Acts. You can look up the story. They tried to do something that they didn't have. Did not work out well for them. And that you can't give away something you don't have. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, the first step for you today is to open your heart to Jesus. So if you're here today and you don't know him, or maybe you've never met him before, or you've never heard anything about him, or maybe you've heard things about him, and that, but you've seen things in other people that you're just like, wow, if that's what it is, if that's what it looks like to be a Christian, man, I don't want to be sour for the rest of my life. Well, I don't want this. Oh my goodness. I'm going to say pause for a moment. Take your eyes off of other people. Because other people are human just like you. None of us are perfect. And fix your eyes onto Jesus. And I'm going to tell you now, he will never fail you. He loves you. Psalms 139 says he knows everything about you. He cares about you. He calls your name. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. He said, will you just let me in? So here today, just know Jesus is for you. He's got a plan for you, Jeremiah tells you, and I'm going to read that scripture later. And he's got life for you. And that weight of the world, the cares of the world, and the problems we walk through, life is just too hard. We need each other, but most importantly, I need him. Because he's the only one that can change anything. He's the only one that can change me. And he never leaves me. See, this is the Jesus that we serve. This is the one that we call out to. And that I don't come to church. And that because I got lots of good friends around me. Although I do. But I come to church because I got brothers and sisters in the Lord that love Jesus. That we're going to partner together to give him praise. To hear from him. And to leave this place. And that empowered, encouraged, enriched, ready to do his business, not my will, but your will be done as we leave this place. Just in case you didn't notice, I corrected my spelling error on the wall going out the doors. Most of you maybe didn't notice that, and I thank God that he helped you not to notice that. But it's corrected now, that when we actually leave this building, right in here, we leave here, we're actually heading into the mission field. The mission field is not Dominican Republic. The mission field is called life. And God brings people around us all the time that he's wanting us to witness to reach out to open up to. Got a little video, Jeff, and that's going to play next. If you can put a little volume on there for me. I just want you to listen to the story of Philip and the Ethiopian.
Philip and the Ethiopian. This is Philip.
Hello.
Who was one of Jesus' disciples.
Yep.
Philip preached the good news of Jesus in many places. One day, an angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Go south down the desert road."
I hear that.
So Philip started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning to Ethiopia. He was in his carriage reading the book of Isaiah out loud.
Hey there!
The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage."
Okay, I can do that.
Philip ran over and heard the man reading and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone teaches me?"
"Come on up here."
And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him.
"This part here."
The Ethiopian asked Philip, "Tell me, was Isaiah talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this scripture in Isaiah, Philip told the Ethiopian the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water.
Wait. Hold on.
And the Ethiopian said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop.
"Stop."
And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away and took him to another town. The Ethiopian never saw Philip again, but went on his way rejoicing.
And as he is trying hard, you got to remember, you know, they've just been through a lot. They've gone through a lot of things. Jesus has died. They were all like, "Oh my goodness, now what's happened? Where are we going to go?" They hide away. Then all of a sudden, Jesus reappears to over 500 plus people at all sorts of different random times. So it's not like some story. It's a reality. He shows back up on the scene, and now they're empowered. They've waited in the upper room. Holy Spirit has now been poured out upon all flesh. And now all of a sudden, he comes down to this part that we think that somehow the people in the Bible are superhuman. But listen to me, they're just ordinary people like you and me that just believed in an extraordinary God. So here today, if you believe in an extraordinary God, then you're a candidate. If you don't, well, then your first step is to believe in him. Believe in your heart, confess with your lips, and the Bible says you will be saved. And as we open our hearts to him, Philip here, all of a sudden, he comes into this place, and I love the little cartoon version. That's why I shared it. Thank you for being patient with me. I was going to show like another one where it was actual people, but this was kind of funnier, so... In that part is, he says, "I can do that." See, God doesn't always give you everything. He wants you to walk by faith. And sometimes he says, "Hey, go walk alongside that chariot. Go walk up to that cart in the grocery store." Oh my Lord, like, what do you mean? Like, walk up to a cart? Well, I'm going to, like, what am I going to do? Just, if he's pointing you in that direction, guess what? He's wanting you to go over there because he's wanting you to do something or say something. And so if he's doing that and he's calling you to there, he says, whom he calls, he will equip. And so Philip just says, "I can do that." So he comes walking alongside of the chariot. Then Holy Spirit puts in his heart to explain it to him. See, we make it complicated, but Holy Spirit's already working on everyone's heart. There is no one beyond reach to God. And he's already working at it. We've just forgot and lost focus on what he's doing because we're busy doing our thing. But when we realize what he's doing, then no matter where we go or what we're doing, we're on duty. Because there's always someone that is ready to hear. Someone that is wanting to hear. The harvest is plentiful. It's the workers that are few. See, when it all boils down, this is what evangelism amounts to. Matthew 28, 19 challenges us to share the love. And that next slide there, Kim. And that don't keep Jesus to yourself. It challenges us to share the love of God, not to keep him to ourselves. And that don't keep your faith as it's so precious, I got to hang on because it's this treasure, I got to... No, the Bible tells you, give your faith away. Why? Because what you sow, you reap. My faith has grown so much because I give it away to anyone and everyone around me. I'm going to tell you, Thursday, if you missed the Watoto, man, you missed the time of your life of raw joy and energy from God in a worship experience. It was powerful. And that anyone that went with me, can you give me a big amen? Amen. Afterwards, I had one of their leaders, and that's Sarah, and a young, one of the kids, June. They came and stayed at my house. At night, you know, I asked them, they're tired. I mean, man alive, the energy they did, everything else, and tear down, set up, all that stuff, and that they're on the road night after night. And I said to them, hey, I don't want to keep you up long. You know, we sat around my island, stood around my island, and we just had this conversation for a little bit and say, hey, can I get you something? You know, joking around back and forth and that idea. And then all of a sudden, God started to drop a word in my heart for June. And I began to share this word to her, and that as her eyes started to bulge right out, and that as she listened intently as God started to speak into her heart. We weren't in church. I never planned anything. But Holy Spirit just dropped a little something there, and I said, hey, I can do that. See, Holy Spirit's speaking to us all the time. He's just looking for a few good men and a few good women that would say, I can do that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that sometimes it's really difficult as we walk through life, and that because the noise is so loud around us. Constantly, we're looking for ways to give this single greatest gift, Jesus, to someone living far from God. So many people in this world think that God is so angry at them. God is some faraway thing. You know, God doesn't care. Why? Because I went through this and I went through this. And it's time you and I come back to the place again, to that place again that we open ourselves up, that we help them connect the dots in their life so they can see the beautiful tapestry or picture that God has been doing all the way around them. See, God's working to pull creation, to pull individuals back to him. That's what Jesus died for. That's what he paid for. He didn't pay for you and I and that to get bigger bank accounts and for you and I to get names on our in front of us and to do all sorts of things. He paid for you and I to partner with him to redeem that which is lost. And so I pray and that over this next 3 weeks as we journey together, 4 weeks, as we journey together, we open our heart this year as we step in, that our heart will start to break a little bit for those around us that are hurting and broken and lost. Enough, not just to feel sorry for, but enough to release compassion in our heart to actually act and do something about it. To the orphan, the widow, and the poor. And that to those that are poor in spirit, to those and that have everything but yet have nothing because they're empty inside. See, Jesus isn't just an add-on. Jesus isn't just for someone that's broken and now they're at their end of their wits and they got nothing else. So what else do I got to lose? I guess I'll try him. No. Everyone, from our prime minister to our astronauts and that to our doctors and scientists, to our garbage men and that to our teachers, to the union workers, to mums at our home, dads and grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, kids. Jesus died for all. And as we open our heart to him, we need to share that love and not keep it to ourselves. So in this greatest single gift that he's given us, and that number one, you must be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. In other words, you won't know everything. You don't have to know everything. You just have to be willing to step into that place that causes you to move by faith. A divine appointment is an opportunity set up by God. You see, he weaves the lives of circumstances of two people together so one can impact the other. The enemy brings people across our path to tempt us, to throw us off, and everything else. Why? He's just duplicating or trying to counterfeit what Jesus is doing, God is doing every day. God is trying hard to weave circumstances and people across paths of each other so that his glory might be revealed to someone. You know where the fastest growing church is right now? Nope. It is growing fast. Nope. Saudi Arabia. I mean, like a nation that is so closed. And it's the fastest growing church right now. Listen to me. Jesus is at work all over. I don't know about you, but we used to sing a song a long time ago, Jesus, don't pass me by. And that's up to you and me on whether he passes by North America, whether he passes by Owen Sound. Because he's longing for you and me to open our hearts up to him, to allow him to be Lord, to allow him to shine bright. Will you do that? Will you join with us this year as we open our hearts to the Lord, as we walk with him? Will you allow the fear in that to be brought down? Will you allow yourself to learn and to grow and to develop and risk and take a step, and that this year as we, as a church, move out of our four walls and that break free, and that I encourage you, get yourself comfortable already, start to change some seats around, and that why? Because in time, you're not going to get your seat unless you start coming an hour early, and that I really believe in my heart. I'm just telling you now, if you got your favorite parking spot and it's always your parking spot, get ready, just park somewhere else, because all of a sudden it's going to happen. You're going to lose that parking spot, and I don't want you to get bent out of shape, and please don't ever ask someone to get out of your seat. You don't own the seat you're in. Jesus does. Did I say that out loud? I'm not supposed to talk like that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 for a second. Matthew chapter 5, and that it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I know there's great debate over the fact of, can a believer in Christ lose their salvation? A lot of people argue it. A lot of time has been spent by scholars and everything else. And that the reality is, our God is bigger than we thought he was. Amen? There is nothing he cannot do. But as we look at Scripture over and over again, there is a free will put inside each and every one of us. We must choose to remain in him as he remains in us, or our hearts can grow cold. We must choose to remain salty. Otherwise, the Bible says that if we lose our saltiness, how can we be made salty again? And he challenges us in this part. So let me talk a little bit about salt for a moment. If you were to evaporate 1 ton of water from the Pacific Ocean, you would approximately get 79 pounds of salt. Okay, so that's the ratio. 1 ton of water gives you 79 pounds of salt. But if you go to the Atlantic water, if you did the same thing, you'd get 81 pounds of salt with 1 ton of water from the Atlantic Ocean. Then if you go over to the Dead Sea and you did the same thing, 1 ton of water from the Dead Sea would give you 500 pounds of salt. So let me just try to bring something out of this. You know, as we see from the statistics, they demonstrate that the Earth's body of water, and that they vary greatly to the degree of the saltiness. And us as believers in Christ, and that can vary differently in our saltiness, how salty we are. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth, but we all have different levels of salt content. As I looked at Scripture, here's a few Scripture references on what it means to be salty. Right? Bible says that we are the salt of the earth and that we are to be there. So what does that kind of mean? If I break it from Scripture, Job 6:6 talks about that salt enhances flavor. So when you show up at work, the whole flavor and atmosphere of work should change. Why? Because you're the salt and Jesus resides inside of you. When you walk into the grocery store, that aisle should start to change. And people should start to want to be around that aisle after you've left, because you're the saltiness and it brings flavor. And that salt indicates purity of speech. Colossians 4:6. This is a tough one, because I've had many people say to me over time, well, it's just what it is. I just say it just because I just say it. But the Bible talks about as we grow closer to God, we become more and more salty. We become more and more like Him and less like the world. We are not meant to fit in. We are meant to be different. And Colossians 4:6 gives us that idea that salty part indicates a purity of speech. Sometimes we just got to ask the Lord to come into our heart and change some things, because garbage in will be garbage out. And if we're finding ourselves in our talk and gossip and negative and swearing and whatever it might be that's there, we need help from God to come and bring that purity of speech, so that we begin to partner with Him and speak words of life, because you are going to speak words of life or death. Power of the tongue is one or the other. And it's time that as we grab and mature in Christ, we grab a hold of Him, we begin to speak life. Salt, out of Numbers chapter 18, verse 19 says, salt symbolizes keeping a promise. Or in the New Testament, you know, it talks about let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that our word means something. I know it's changed in society. Growing up, you used to shake hands. There was no contracts and 15 pages of all sorts of stuff. You just shook a hand of someone and that was signed and sealed. Someone said, yes, I want that. It was done. Now, you wouldn't dare think about that. I had a friend, he works construction. And then I told him when he first started, I said, hey, you need to make sure you make contracts. You need to make sure you get things signed. Oh, no, it's okay. Walks over to the first house and, hey, what do you need done? They tell him and say, hey, okay, yeah, I can do that for you. And that $3,000, okay, that's good. Yeah, okay, great. Then all of a sudden the next day he's coming over to work and they're like, hey, can you move this door this way? Can you do this? Oh, yeah, I can do that, no problem. And doesn't sign a contract, doesn't do anything. Well, at the end of the job, he was $13,000 in debt. Now, you might say, well, that's not much for a big company. He's not a big company. He was just a husband and a wife trying to provide for his family. $13,000 in debt that people refused to pay. And he's like, well, what do I do? And I said, listen, the end of the day is you should have put it in paper. I told you to do that. We walked through that, but now you're stuck in this place. And so we ended up going through small claims court, and you know how much he got out of it all? $5,000. He not only worked for free, but he now carried punch of their debt that they put into their home. We live in a different world today, but the Bible tells us that for salty people, people of God, your yes should be a yes and your no should be a no. And if you're not a trustworthy person, then the Bible says that something's wrong. because we ought to be different than the patterns of this world. Salt speaks of goodness in Mark chapter 9:50. Goodness. Something good. People want to be around good people, don't you? We don't want to be around sourpusses and negative people and that idea. That's no fun. We want to be around good people. Well, the Bible says some of the best people around should be those that love Christ, not because they're perfect, but because he's good and he lives inside of them. For salt to be effective, it needs proximity. You got to get around people. You can't just hide it away. You just can't go store it in a back room. But in order for salt to be effective in all these things, you got to get around people. You got to move out and step out. So number two is you need to begin to listen to Spirit's promptings. Acts chapter 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So as Holy Spirit comes upon us, why? Is not only give us boldness and every power so that we can overcome the big bad wolf, but that we would get boldness and power to be his witness to the world that God is still alive and he's still working and he's still changing hearts and he's still doing something. And that through our lives, we express that. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons or daughters of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God this morning? Like that little cartoon. I can do that as Holy Spirit speaks to you. Again, I said it before this year, we want to just say a few more yeses to God than noes. Amen. And that is we make ourselves available to him. The key is we walk when the Spirit tells us to walk, and we don't walk when the Spirit says stop. Listen to him. Life is not that hard. Well, tough stuff happens to us, but it's not that hard. All we got to do is listen to him, get into his rhythm, and he will lead us in and through and over and under anything. Number three, allow God's passion to fill your heart. Allow God's passion to fill your heart. God is passionate about the lost. So much so, he is withholding himself from returning until everyone has had a chance to hear. I don't know about you, but how many people would love to see the Lord come back? Right? That's a pretty easy question to raise our hands to, but reality is some of us might be raising our hands. I'm not married yet. It'd be kind of cool to get married. Or I don't have a kid yet. I haven't gone in that or haven't that. You know, I shared that little story of me as a young kid praying, God, you know, I know you're coming back so that I could go somewhere that I wanted to go because the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. You know, we get these things, but at the end of the day is if we want him to return, all we got to do is start sharing Christ with everyone around us. That's all we got to do. When the Spirit and the bride say, come, it's just waiting for you and I to be about our Father's business, to witness and reach those that are around us. So now you got your finger into Philippians chapter 2. Let's read this, verse 5 to 10. Philippians 2, 5 to 10, it says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So this is where God has established Jesus. But Jesus, I didn't even equate myself equal with God. I didn't even know God and Jesus, they're one. Jesus saved you and I. If you're here today and you're a believer in Christ, he saved, he redeemed, he restored you to be that prince or princess of the Most High God. You are royalty. But we need to take the mindset of Christ on, that we don't let that go to our head so much that we start walking around, Wayne, serve me, serve me. Yeah, Christy, come on, get up here and do this, you know, serve me, serve me. No, that we humble ourselves like Christ did. You say, Father, what is it your will? What is it you want me to do? What do you got me to do today? Not my kingdom here, your kingdom. Your kingdom. What is it you want me to do, Father? I'm your humble servant. I'm your humble servant, Lord. Oh, you've adopted me. You've made me family, and you say I'm no longer a slave and that, and I get all those things, but God, I'm your servant. I'm so in love with you. I just want to be around you, and I want to do what you're doing. And we move ourselves in that same mindset that Christ had. Another reason Jesus took a walk across the cosmos was to set an example for you and me. Jesus came. He died. Yes, he died and rose again because you and I could not pay our debt. We just couldn't pay it. And there would be never a chance for us to pay it. But he also came to set an example for you and I on how to walk, how to live. How do we walk in our Father's will? What do we do? What's important to God? Well, when you look to Jesus' life, you find life. You find what you're meant to do as a believer in Christ. John chapter 4, if you have it with me, let's turn and let's read and that together. John chapter 4. I want to start at 27. And we're going to read through. So just follow with me for a bit. It's the Word of God, so, and that open your hearts to it. Verse 27 of chapter 4, it says, then as the disciples returned, they were surprised to find him talking to a woman. And now he was talking to a Samaritan woman, and a Jew was never to associate with a Samaritan. That was like the worst of the worst thing that a Jew could do. It's clean and unclean in their mindset of the Jews. And it's unheard of, and the disciples are like, what on earth are you talking to her? And so they're in this place, and at this time, and that but one asks, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone else have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now the harvester harvests the crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows, another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work. You have reaped the benefits of their labor. Those that have gone before us, those that are out witnessing and praying grandmothers for their family, blood, sweat, and tears pouring in, and that, but yet God's calling you and I to be harvesters as we go out. And maybe we've never really met them before. Maybe we've never really talked to them before about God. And all of a sudden we begin to talk to them and God's saying, they're ready. Ask them, God, lead me. Who's ready? Look across the room. Look across the place. And that when you're going around your business and say, God, who is ready? Who is ready? Send me, Lord. If you can find anyone, send me. Moving on into verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words and many more became believers. And they said to the woman this. Now listen to this part. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. It's one thing for you and I to share with our kids, to share with our neighbor, to share with someone else about Jesus. And they hear about the testimonies, and they get excited, and they're like, wow, that's kind of different. I mean, that's odd. I didn't really think that way. But that's not enough for them just to know some facts and some events and some moments. Because if they don't know him, in your bulletin there was a piece of paper, how to lead someone to Christ. Just pull it out for a quick second. Now, I mean, I could have printed this 99 different ways. Okay? This is very simple. It's not a very complex thing. But reality is, the Bible simply says, believe in your heart, confess with your lips, and you are saved. Why? He doesn't want any man to boast to think that, look what I did. I did all of this, and so I've got it together. So an overview, kind of a three-step approach if you want to do it, the ABCs. Number one is that we must be able to admit that we're a sinner. We're in need of Jesus. We need him. And that Romans tells us that in chapter 3, and it gives us that part. But not only admitting that, but it's opening our heart to believe. And listen, you can't make them believe, and I can't. That's why you're so desperate, and I'm so desperate for Holy Spirit to be involved in this moment. So this is not just, oh, pastor's at me. He's going to ask next week, and I really don't want to lie, so I can't really put my hand up. So, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, oh, hey, you, take that. Hey, yeah, that's for you. Thank you very much. Okay, yeah, I gave it out, pastor. You can't force something on anyone. It's not what I'm talking about. But I pray that you've been opening your heart to the people around you, that they know you more than just a good person. They know you more than just the giftings and talents and abilities you can do, but that they know that there's something different. So tell them about that difference. Like that Ethiopian, when Philip said, hey, do you know what you're reading? How will I know unless someone tells me? They should know there's something different, but then tell them why it's different. Share Jesus with them so that their heart might open to believe too. And then in the last one is confess that Jesus is Lord. And that is so important. And that why? Because the enemy is constantly trying to rob the seeds that get planted. Seed gets thrown out everywhere. And that, but some get eaten up by the birds. Some get choked out in life because there's no discipleship around them. There's no one to lead them and mentor them and help them. And so all of a sudden the thorns grow up with them because they have life that's struggling in that idea. And God is saying, hey, open your heart to them. Our prayer is every one of us, and that we'll start taking action, and that with a new found confidence and boldness in Holy Spirit and his ability to reach to those around us, that we would step out, that we would find ourselves an excuse to move out of our comfort zone, that we would learn to walk across the room, open our eyes, use our ears, and discern if there is someone on the other side of the room that we ought to be paying attention to, that we would open our hearts to him. And as we do that, and we ask the Lord for that, then all of a sudden we realize in Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13, and that as we close and we read here, familiar portion of Scripture. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you, And that when you seek me, I'll comfort you. As you pray, you open your heart to me. He says he'll comfort you. And then verse 13 says, when you seek me, you will find me with all your heart. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. Are you seeking him? Are you seeking him? And that, well, why not join us today? I mean, if you haven't been joining us in the fast, then I encourage you to join us in the fast. If you don't know about it and you want to know about it, then please talk to one of your friends that are next to you and ask if they know. If they don't know, then grab another person, ask them, and who knows, maybe you'll get a big chain going here. And that as you figure out what is fasting, what are we trying to do here, what is it all about, or come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you. And that as we open our hearts to the Lord, Isaiah 58:6 says, this is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth. And that Jesus, that's our desire, and that is our prayer. God, Lord, I pray, God, that you would set us free. You would break free inside of us. You would release us from the weights and cares of this world. God, that you would move so greatly inside of us, God, that we can't help but get out. We can't help but witness. We can't help but shine for you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get off of ourselves and onto you, the author and finisher of our faith. God, what is it that you're calling us for? It's got to be a whole lot more than singing a few songs. It's got to be a whole lot more than just coming together once a week. Man, God, if that's it, I'm pretty disappointed. It's got to be more than that. Jesus, help us to walk in the rhythm of your grace. Help us to open ourselves, Lord, and that to the fullness of your blessing and goodness so that we can release it to everyone else around us. Don't keep your faith. Don't keep it as if you're so afraid you're going to lose it. Give it away. And God will just increase it to you more and more and more and more and more. Don't keep your blessings to yourself. But give them away. And then God will end up pouring more and more and more and more over you. So Lord, we take a hold of the cards, those invitation cards right now, Lord. We place them in our hands, Lord, right now, Lord, and we begin to pray over them right now, Lord. We're not going to wait until an hour from now. We're not going to wait for a day or two from now. We're going to put our hands on and we just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, this represents someone. This represents a child, a woman, a man, a husband, a wife, a co-worker. It represents someone, God, that you are working in their heart, that you are longing to release yourself to. Help me to find that person this week. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Tell me to turn around at times. Tell me to stop at times. Tell me to move. But lead me and guide me, Lord, so that I can find this person that this card represents right here. So that, Lord, I can go and I can not only give him a card, but I can give him you. I can begin to talk to him and share and witness with him and about your goodness. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing amongst us. I thank you for each and every one that is here today. God, Lord, I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that does not know you, God, Lord, it's the greatest adventure of their whatever. Nothing will trump the adventure that you would bring them on. And so, God, I pray, God, as they open their heart to you, God, would you reveal yourself to them? You're doing it in Saudi Arabia, Iran. You're doing it in China and all sorts of places. We're saying, God, would you do it here in Canada? Would you do it here in Owen Sound? Would you do it here in Rockcliffe this morning? Reveal yourself, Lord, I pray. And so, God, I thank you for that right now. If you're hearing the sound of my voice today and that this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, as everyone's head is bowed and eyes are closed, and that I'm going to challenge you right now. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, but you're like, hey, and that I want to kind of get to know him, who you're talking about. I want to open my heart to him. Would you just slip your hand up this morning? I want to pray with you. And I want to pray with you that God's going to reveal himself to you and that he loves you. He is for you. You're not an outsider. You're not something that is junk or off to the side. You are so valuable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're here today, would you just raise your hand if that's you? Okay. I see that hand. Okay. You can put your hands down. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Just take another moment here. If you've never confessed with your lips that he's Lord. Okay, side note. Are you here today and you know Jesus? You know God? You gave your heart to him? You love him? The fire's been pretty cold. And the idea of witnessing has scared you for years, and therefore you haven't done it. You haven't been about what God's simple part of what he asks us to do. But today God's speaking into your heart and you're like, hey, I just want his help. I want Holy Spirit's help because I want to partner with him. I don't want to be living by fear. I want to be able to take that step. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand for a moment? I want to pray with you. Isn't that okay? I see those hands. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? It's an act of faith. It's not really for me. This is for you. I'm trying to help you to take a bolder step. And that, and that because we need to take that bolder step. Otherwise, the enemy is going to try to rob it from us, right? He's going to try to take that from us. And that, so I just really encourage you. We're going to pray in a moment and that, but I encourage you to talk to someone. And that, talk to your family, talk to someone else, share the goodness of God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be worried about it. No one can take you from his hands. No one can take you from his hands. No one can stop you from witnessing and sharing Christ because the goodness of God, the greatness of God resides inside of you. And so let's pray. Jesus, let's all say it together and that together. Jesus, I thank you that you stand at the door of my heart and you knock. You don't grow tired or weary. You haven't given up on me. But the fact that I can hear you knocking is because you have made me alive. So Jesus, I recognize I am a sinner. And I am so desperate for you. I don't know what it all means. But I do want to take a step to you. So, Lord, I open my heart to you right now. I give you my life. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, help me, Holy Spirit, to give me boldness so that the enemy will never be able to stop me. Never be able to rob, kill, or destroy anything that you want to do in my life. I am yours. And thank you that you are mine. Jesus, I pray you would rekindle my heart to reach out. Lord, break away that fear. So that I might be a bold witness for you. In Jesus' name.